About 46 years ago, a man named Mervyn Thomas in the south of England, who worked in logistics, was reading his Bible. Well, read it every day. And he read in the book of Proverbs some words which really hit him. In Proverbs 31, verse 8, he read this: "Speak up for those who speak who do not speak for themselves. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." And he thought, who's speaking up for Christians? No one. And so CSW was born. We are a voice for the voiceless. We work at the moment in 20-odd countries around the world. We'd like to work in more. But we speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. We're an advocacy organization. We subscribe to what's called FORB. It's a UN thing, Freedom of Religious Belief for All. 90% of our work is with Christians, but we also speak up on behalf of others, like Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar, Baha'is in Iran and other places, Ahmadiyya Muslims in Pakistan. All of those groups are severely persecuted, and we bring to the world's attention the situation that they're facing. Where do we work? Well, we work in government. We work in the Parliament of Westminster. We work at the UN. We work in the State Department in America. We also work, even today, in the EU. And our aim is to name and shame regimes which persecute their religious minorities. We also work on behalf of individuals, trying to get individuals who are imprisoned for their faith out of prison. How are we regarded? Well, you might have heard of this man. Jonathan Aitken said this recently: "We live at a moment in the 21st century when, astonishingly, the number of people being persecuted for their faith around the world is rising. So there is much to be done in continuing CSW's mission of advocacy as a voice for the voiceless." Well, that's about CSW. What about us? Well, the reason I had that reading in Romans read to us was, in Romans chapter 12, we read these words: "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." Actually, your Bible missed that bit. Your Bible's the gender-neutral version. But the word is Philadelphia, brotherly love. And I think when we think about these people who are persecuted for their faith, when I think about them, they're my brothers, they're my sisters in Christ, and I want to do whatever I can to help them. At the moment, we are very concerned about people who have been, quote, disappeared. We're running a campaign, and there's some copies of response, our news letter, magazine, on the table at the back of church. We're concerned about people who have been disappeared. I think it's the very worst thing that can happen to a family. If you have a member of your family who is taken and imprisoned, you grieve for them. If they have even been executed, well, you're deeply sad about that. But at least there's some sort of closure. But if somebody's simply taken, and you don't know where they are, whether they're alive or dead, there's no closure, and that's the very worst that can happen. And so we think of people like Leah Sharibu. Leah Sharibu was one of a group of 110 schoolgirls taken from their school in Nigeria in February 2018. Not the Chibok schoolgirls, this is another one. Five of those schoolgirls died on their way to the camp. Subsequently, 104 of those girls were released. But not Leah Sharibu, and do you know why? She was asked to convert and to become a Muslim. She said, "I cannot. I love Jesus Christ. He died for me. He's my saviour. I cannot become a Muslim." And they said, "For that you will die." Well, how we prayed for her at conference that year. And how relieved we were to hear when Boko Haram said, "Well, we won't kill you, but you're our slave for life." And that's her situation now. We don't know where she is. We think she's had two children. We don't know. She's been forced into marriage. But that's her situation. She has been disappeared. Gao Zhisheng, very, very brave Christian human rights lawyer. He used to complain about the way that churches are being closed, crosses are being cut down from churches, and Christian leaders are being imprisoned. And for that, he was imprisoned himself. On a number of occasions, he was tortured in prison. And in 2016, he was put under house arrest. And I remember hearing his daughter talk about the conditions under which he was kept. She said, you know, there were cameras in every room in the house, even in the showers. Remarkably, he was able to produce, under those circumstances, a 40-page document of human rights violations in China at that time. And even more remarkably, he managed to get it out of the country and it came into the hands of CSW. Well, you can imagine. The Chinese authorities were furious, and in 2017, he was disappeared. No one knows where he is. No one knows whether he's alive or dead. Please pray for him. Dr. Futsum Gebredegas, I don't really know this situation very well. One of a number of Christian leaders in Eritrea who have been disappeared. We know the names of seven of them. And most of these people have been disappeared for over 20 years. They're in prison, if they're alive or dead. 20 years they've been kept in the most appalling conditions in Eritrea. Their crime? They belong to the wrong Christian denomination. You'd probably be all right in Eritrea because the Eritrean government says if you're a Roman Catholic, or if you're a Muslim, or if you're Lutheran, or if you're Orthodox, we'll allow you to worship. But anything else, we will not. They belong to the wrong denomination. For that, they were disappeared. And then Pastor Raymond Koh. Pastor Raymond Koh, a Malaysian Christian leader, did a lot of wonderful work. And he set up an organization called the Hope Community in 2004 to help people who are marginalized and poor. The authorities didn't like it. And there were many threats on his life. And in February 2017, he was walking along the road in his hometown, Patalang Jaya in Malaysia, and suddenly five black cabs drew up. And out of them emerged 15 men. And they grabbed hold of him, and they threw him into one of them, and they drove off. It took, we are told, 42 seconds for that to happen. And somebody said about it, it was like a scene in a movie. Please pray for Raymond Koh. We don't know where he is. He's been disappeared all that time. Pray for his wife as well. And there's something in particular you can do because I've got his wife's address. And it's on the table at the back of church. And there's something you can do. So what can we do then? Well, we can pray. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 says this, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. Please take a copy of that. This is the previous edition. It runs out this week, but I've also got the latest, hot off the press. You can take a copy of both to help you to pray in a meaningful way for these people who are suffering. You can provide a gift. I never ask a church to put us on its list of donors. I know this church does, so I thank you for that. But I'm not here on a begging mission. But besides providing money, you can provide encouragement. Think of sending a card to Susanna Koh. I try to send her a card every Christmas. And at the moment, I'm encouraging lots of people to send her a card to encourage her. Lovely story, this one. People often ask me, do they get the cards? Well, this pastor in Cuba, Pastor Omar Gude Perez, was having a terrible time. When he arrived in prison, they said, you'll be here for the rest of your life. They treated him dreadfully. They fed him rotten food. They denied him medical attention. They tortured him. Everything they could possibly think of to wear him down, they did. And in the end, he decided he was going to stop pastoring his fellow prisoners, and he was even going to give up on his faith and ask his wife to divorce him. She came to him that day, and she said, he said to her, "Look, I've got something to say to you." She said, "Hold your horses," or whatever he's saying, "I've got something to say to you. I've just received this card." And it's from a little boy in England. He's 6 years old, and it simply says this: "I have faith in you." She said, "You know, I've got faith in you, and God's got faith in you." Well, it really hit him. He went down on his knees in tears, and he repented. He said, "I will carry on." And there isn't always a happy ending to the story, but in this case there is. Because CSW was advocating on his behalf, we managed to get him out of prison, and ultimately we managed to get him released from the country to be reunited with his wife and his grown-up children in America. Finally, you can protest. Well, these two ladies, Lesbia and Carmen, live in Nicaragua. Nicaragua has a very harsh government, very authoritarian, a dictatorship. And they don't like what Christians do in terms of social work and helping the poor. And Carmen and Lesbia were doing a lot of work helping the poor. And so they were arrested. They were arrested quite recently, in August 2024, and, quote, "they have never been seen again since." Now, there's something you can do in terms of protesting. Take one of these cards, and on the back of it, put your name and address, and if you want to be in touch with CSW, that's great, just tick it accordingly, and hand it back to me. And it's addressed to the Foreign Secretary. It says David Lammy. Cross that out and put Yvette Cooper. We're going to send them to Yvette Cooper, the Foreign Secretary, and say, please, please, bring up the situation of Carmen and Lesbia, that they should be released. You know, just a moment of silence as we remember those who've been disappeared. Lord, we commit all these people into your hands and their families who are grieving so terribly. Pray, Lord, that you will watch over them and you will comfort them. You'll just wrap your arms around them and show your love to them, that even though they disappeared, you have not forgotten about them. For we ask it in Jesus' name.